There was very nearly a warmth to Smoke when I took hold of him, as though some part of him sensed that he was no longer alone and was pleased. I took him directly to Overlook, sliding backward in time as we went, avoiding the ruins where the fires burned, so I wouldn't see myself. I had to shuffle forward and backward to find Mother Goda's crows. They were visible only briefly, and were never obvious. They streaked in from the north, high above the fortress, then plummeted into Overlook like falling stones. There were no more than a dozen, so any message they carried, either direction, would be severely limited. I expected greater numbers from what my mother-in-law had said. I followed the last one down. The flock didn't go near Long Shadow's glowing tower top, where the Shadow Master labored late over some esoteric text. They plunged into the darkness of a courtyard, and entered the fortress through a door standing just a crack ajar. They muttered among themselves, uncomfortable with where they were. A sharp cry, broken off, nearly spooked them. A voice whispered. I could see nothing but the vaguest shape in the darkness, but recognized the howler's aborted cry. I didn't understand a word he said. I didn't understand the crows, who took turns making noises that might have constituted a message. For me, the critical piece of information was not included in the body of the message, but in the existence of the message. Soulcatcher and Howler were communicating. I ran back in time another hour. Howler did nothing but sit there and wait. I jumped forward, planning to bracket him till I found something else interesting. I had to advance only a few minutes beyond the arrival of the crows. They stayed only briefly. Then Howler rustled back into the darkness. I drifted along behind him, tracking him by ear and by smell. Even in the ghost world, Howler had an air about him. He stayed in darkness, away from roots Long Shadow might use, till he reached a particular door. He knocked, which surprised me. Howler was the kind of guy who just invited himself in. Narayan Singh opened the door a crack. Howler fought down a shriek. He was developing a talent for silence. Singh stepped back and allowed him to enter. Howler slipped in like a diminutive deceiver on a deadly skulk.
It's time, he whispered.
Time for what? Singh knew. He went to the Daughter of Night immediately. The kid was hunched up in front of a small fire, fanatically transcribing that first book of the dead. Looked to me like she was almost done, but who knew how long a book it was. Singh seemed unsure how to approach the girl. He seemed unsure about a lot lately. He was close to superfluous and knew it. Lady always would have a use for him, though. He got the girl's attention. Gods, she was getting spooky. There was an aura about her, something you might call a glow of darkness. In that light, her eyes seemed to shimmer like those of a big cat stealing toward your dying campfire. You were drowsing, and she was hungry.
It's time,
Narayan told her, his whisper barely strong enough to stir the air. The child nodded curtly. She made a tiny gesture. Narayan bowed, backed away. There was no doubt who was in charge here, who ruled and who obeyed, nor any doubt that she was herself controlled by a determined power. She extended her riding hand to Narayan for help rising. It was a claw she could not relax. Her legs were too stiff to unfold on their own. For a moment, I pitied her, forgetting she was